Well, good morning. Delightful to be with you this morning. And certainly a happy Father's Day to all who are dads here. We just left our own son and daughter-in-law and four grandkids in Chelsea, Quebec this morning and drove across. Beautiful drive into from Gatineau over to Ottawa and then across on Highway 7. And here we are. It's just delightful. And it's beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. I'm not going to talk a lot of this morning about the Philippines. I will mention this one thing that the people group we worked with, the Iboloy, they just recently had two of their entire scriptures printed off just so they can check them. And after that has gone through a final check, then the Philippine Bible Society will be printing those, and there'll be 7,000 copies printed in that dialect. But the unique thing is that it's the entire scripture, Genesis to Revelation. And for the last 30 years, a whole Iboloy team, pure Iboloy, have been trained. They were trained in Bible translation principles, and they have done the hard work of doing that, stayed with it. And they're just brilliant, brilliant people. But to have the complete scriptures that we take for granted, but to have it in your hand, you know what? There's not a lot of people groups in the world that actually have the entire Bible in their language. So many Bible translation organizations, including Ethnos Canada or Ethnos USA or whatever, and Wycliffe, they focus more on the New Testament, which is fine, but doing the entire Bible is another whole level of intensity and project. So we celebrate that. And hopefully next year, January, February, we'll have a chance to go over and take part in a dedication celebration. And that'll be a very special event in the life of this people group. It's going to take a while to get it printed because there's a backlog right now of things getting printed over there. And so, but that's coming for them. This morning, I'm going to talk about the topic of fellowship. I'm going to go back into the scriptures on that and just highlight a few things for us. Probably nothing that's going to be new for you, but it may be a good reminder of why we can enjoy what we can enjoy as believers, as people that are rightly connected to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship one with another. And I think earlier you probably had the breaking of bread service. And you know what? That's a table of remembrance, a table of fellowship, where we gather together around that table. And that's a very special time. I want to highlight more what our Lord taught about fellowship. What did he emphasize? What did he bring to light for his disciples and even those that he taught about this term of fellowship? And what are things that we can apply because of what Jesus not only taught, but what he lived out? So I'm going to start our talk this morning in John 17. So have your Bibles. You can turn to John 17. I am reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. I'm going to cover that. I love teaching from this wonderful translation. Speaks my language, and so I hope that you can follow along in whatever translation you have there. Before I read this verse from John 17 to start us off, let me give you a definition of fellowship. I came across this and I like it. It says, fellowship is a mutual bond that believers have with Christ that puts us in a deep, eternal relationship with one another. So it's a bond that we have because of Christ. And then that puts you and I then together. I can go into churches all across Canada, all across North America, the world, and where there are true believers meeting together, we have a bond of fellowship because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that goes on into eternity. We sometimes we sing about fellowship, We have fellowship rooms. We have fellowship breakout groups. There are even churches that have fellowship in their names that you might know about. I certainly do. In fact, I just passed by one in Perth coming down, Rideau Christian Fellowship. Delightful body of believers down there. So let me start in John 17, verse 1, and then I want to talk a little bit about what's happening in this context. John 17, 1. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you." Now, if you go back a few chapters here, even in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and into 17, this prayer here, you'll find that there's an extensive body of teaching here that the Lord has given to his disciples. In fact, in John 13, right at the very beginning, you see that he's at a supper table with the disciples, and after supper, he takes a towel and washes the disciples' feet. And so you have this intimacy that the Lord is having, fellowship with his disciples, and he even explains why he's doing that for them. And then he gives teaching going on through 15, 16, and then into 17. And as Jesus is teaching and communicating all this information to the disciples, He just stops. And he looks up to heaven, and instead of now talking to his disciples, he's talking to his Father in heaven. It's quite an abrupt change, but it's as natural as breathing for him. Because he's very, very familiar with fellowship with his disciples on earth and with his Father in heaven. It's natural. It's something that was just a continual practice of our Lord. Fellowship was something that he engaged in. And we'll see more about that. So there's a scene in which he is teaching his disciples many things, and then he moves into this intimate conversation with the Father. And when he says this, glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you, hey, he's talking about a traumatic series of events that are going to unfold here very quickly. Some traumatic events that deal with his arrest, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension. And so all these things are going to take place very quickly here, but in his talk with the Father in heaven, he continually sees his Father as the one he wants to bring glory to. And then he goes on in John 17, verse 5, 17, verse 5, he says, "Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." Before the world began. Have you ever thought about the fellowship of the Trinity? Have you ever thought about that? We are so locked into our earthly scene and the physical world we live in. In fact, God began giving us his word in the creation of the heavens and the earth. And so God sets the stage by which we can identify. He even gave us languages that as much as we can communicate in as we talk about God. But words sometimes fail us when we move back into the scene of eternity. We have a hard time grasping that. And we all know what it's like at least I did as a younger person, sometimes just trying to stop and think about that. And we say we are short-circuiting. We can only go so far because in our humanness, we have a frailty. Now, I think that's going to change in eternity to come. We're going to see what we can't see now. We're going to know what we don't know now, and we're going to be able to explain and witness what we can't see now. But you have this picture of the Lord Jesus looking up into heaven, and I wonder what was going through the minds of the disciples. Were they saying, hey, we're here. Look, what about us? I don't know what's going on because it's not recorded as to what they were thinking, but there's certainly a scene here where Jesus simply leaves the earthly scene and he begins talking with his Father. Fellowship is as old as God himself. It's always been there. And the triune God has enjoyed an eternal practice. And Jesus simply continued that while he was on earth. He lived out for us what he wants us to practice. He modeled for us what he wants us to practice. This constant communication with the Father made possible because of faith in which we are united to the Son. The beginning of fellowship was not when Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God. It's not when it started. That was a point in time for mankind when they entered into fellowship with the Father. That's true. And the Father with those that he created. But fellowship didn't start there. Fellowship, you might look ahead and say, well, what about the inception of the church in the book of Acts? And the Holy Spirit being given and now indwells us. That certainly adds another level of fellowship. How close can God actually get to us than actually living within us? What intimacy, what fellowship. I found myself on the way from Chelsea, Quebec to Stirling today, talking with the Father, talking with him. Before anything was yet created, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had relational enjoyment and relational fellowship. Long before anything, long before we were here, long before there's anything physical, the Father, Son, and Spirit had delightful fellowship with each other. I don't know what they all talked about, but I do know that we're given one hint in Genesis 1:26 where God says, "Let us make man in our image. To be like us. Let us make man in our image." There's a plurality there. Oh, by the way, do you know that if we do not have a God of plurality, if we do not have that, if it was just singular, you can't have fellowship with yourself. You can't do that. You can't have just love focused on yourself. There was beautiful, wonderful love in the triune God. There's beautiful, intimate fellowship and delightful fellowship in the triune God. And that, they lived out for us long before there was anything. They lived out this intimate fellowship. So why then, what does it mean to make man in their image? What does that mean, do you think? Do you think it has anything to do with the relational intimacy and communication and fellowship that God intended that we could have with him? I think it's all about that. Designed for fellowship, created for in fellowship, created for enjoyment with our eternal God. And we know in Genesis 3 what took place. That did not take God by surprise, but you still see an amazing God opening the way for fellowship to be restored. Reconciliation to happen so that mankind could be brought back into an intimate fellowship with the Father again. Not perfect yet, but it's coming that way. We're moving. So this topic of fellowship is as eternal as God himself. Let us make man in our image. God wanted mankind to have the capacity to know, to love, to enjoy, delight in, and have fellowship with God and with each other. So as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have known fellowship with each other, so we, created in the image of God, are made for fellowship. It ties right back into the eternalness of God, into the eternalness of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A number of years ago, I was put onto a book, and it was the book title is called Delighting in the Trinity, Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves, and just really, really a good book, but it was just really thought-provoking as he talked about just life in the Trinity before there was anything. And we get some glimpses of that in the scriptures themselves. And so we have different scenes where at the baptism of Jesus, you have Father, Son, and Spirit communicating at that point. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Beautiful, beautiful pictures of the Trinity in fellowship, in union, working together. So what Jesus taught and lived was that his relationship with the Father and the Spirit is also our model for fellowship. It's something that Jesus lived out. He went off at times quietly just to be with his Father. Now, because of the fall, we also know that fellowship can be broken. It can be broken because of sin. And I'm going to have us go over just into 1 John chapter 1 for a second here. Just turn over to 1 John chapter 1. And I like what it says here, because there's so much that's written in the epistles here about fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, this is starting at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So fellowship can be restored. It can be restored. And God is intent on us living in this actual fellowship. Now, I like to give us an example from the scriptures of fellowship broken and then fellowship restored. And God is not hesitant at all about giving us these type of examples. It's good for us to see and to find out what's really happening in the lives of people and the saints of the past. But I'm going to there's a number of examples, but I'm going to specifically look at the book of Corinthians just quickly for us this morning. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul reminds the church of God's desire and invitation for fellowship. He reminds them of that. It says that God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Other translations will call that a partnership, but the word is also fellowship. He's invited us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's that invitation there. Then Paul begins to address a real issue that profoundly affected fellowship at that time. And I'm going to stay in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 to 12, and he says here, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I only follow Christ. So there's a situation here that spilled over into the Corinthian church that Paul has been made aware of, and he's trying to address that, hey, we're not about an individual. We're about a Savior. We're about the risen Christ. That's who we're looking up to. That's our model. That's the one we're following. And of course, there were some very gifted, articulate speakers at that time. Apollos would have been one of them. Paul was one of them. But Paul got in trouble with the Corinthian church, probably because of what he wrote. But he was made aware of the situation that was there, a situation of strife and division. And then in 2 Corinthians, we're just skipping over quickly into 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's some things that are said here that relate to this problem that Paul was having. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11, he says, Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I am asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us. You see, fellowship has some, there's an emotion, there's a humility, there's an attitude that comes through with fellowship that says we're united, we're together. And we say that, we practice that because of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul was faced with that, and he said, and the walls were up. He was being stiff-armed by a whole church here, by a body of believers that he wanted to draw close to, but they kept them at a distance. And then we all know that they had all kinds of nasty thoughts about the Apostle Paul. They communicated that. But there was fellowship restored. And this is a neat part of the story. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 to 7, listen to what it says here. For when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. His presence was a joy, and so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. When he told us how much you long to see me and how sorry you are for what happened and how loyal you are to me, I was filled with joy. So you have some words there that just brought incredible joy. Where there was heartache, where there was pushing away and division and strife, there was now a warmth. You see, fellowship involves humility. It involves a warmth. It involves right attitudes toward each other. And God has enjoyed that in eternity past. That was consistent with who they are. It was a perfect relationship, perfect fellowship. And he created us for intimacy and delightful fellowship with him. And so Paul has some good news that there was some reconciliation there. There was some restoration of things that were at one time broken. And so that's, to me, I've enjoyed this study on fellowship because it tells me of the heart of the Father. And we need to be in tune with the heart of our Father. And he longs for us just to enjoy him and from the outflow of that, if you're enjoying our Lord and if you're enjoying the Father, then it's probably going to spill in over into other relationships where you can also equally enjoy those and have a wonderful sense of unity and delightful enjoyment together. These principles that Jesus taught and lived out, he passed on to his disciples. And Jesus said that we were to go out into all the world, and Beth read those words this morning, into all the world, and pass on all that Jesus taught. And Jesus taught that fellowship with the Father and with each other is not only imperative, but it's possible and needed. I'm going to read a few more verses this morning, and if nothing else, just listen, because they communicate on to the importance of just the enjoyment we could have with our Lord and with each other. In Romans chapter 12, verses 16 to 18, it says, just live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in a way that everyone can see you are honorable. And do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. As much as it depends upon you, live at peace with all people. And then in Romans chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and be gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you have been called by one glorious hope for the future. And it goes on and talks about the oneness that we have. When I was in the Philippines, when Kathy and I were there, we got into I was a field director at that time, and a situation happened in one of our islands in the southern Philippines where, as a leadership team, we kind of broke fellowship with a number of the missionaries that were living in that island. And so we knew that we needed to go down and sit with them and see what we could do to restore that broken fellowship. And they were really ticked off at us for some reasons. Some maybe were valid. Others were assumptions. We just needed to talk because there was this missing of each other, miscommunication, and we needed to do that. And so my co-leader there in Manila, I said, look, we're going to have to go down, and I'll call ahead and ask the missionaries to come together and meet at a central location, and we will fly down there and we'll talk and see what they say. And so Bob and I got our flights and flew down into the island of Palawan, and we arrived there at the scene of the gathering there. It was at a guest house facility we had there. And so we got there, and it wasn't real warm, the reception. Have you ever felt coolness? It wasn't real warm, it was cool. And so I called everybody together, and I think we got there late that day, and the next day I called together a formal meeting, and I stood before them, like I'm standing before you now, and I'd already talked through with my co-worker as to our approach to this time, because there are different ways you can approach division and strife in the body. And the Lord had impressed upon both Bob and I to go a certain direction. And so I looked at the group of missionaries that were there, and there's probably 20 there, and I said, Bob and I have come down here because we know that we're struggling in our relationships together. We're aware of that. And I said, I'm going to put everything on the table that all is not well between this field, this group of missionaries, and the field leadership. We know that there is some division that's there. And then I simply said this. I said, Bob and I have come because we would like to ask you, what can we do? What can we do to restore a right relationship with you? We're inviting you to tell us and talk to us. And to, because that's what we want. We want to be able to move forward in oneness, in unity, because there's so much that we need to accomplish. And there's so much at stake. Dear Palauan missionaries, what can we do to resolve this? And so we talked. And they invited, and then we, it wasn't very long after my whole introduction and time at that, we took a short break, I got some coffee, and I had one of the missionaries, J.J. Rasmussen, he came up to me, and he was really ticked, in a way, and he said to me, he says, I am so mad at you, I am so ticked at you, you completely disarmed me. I had a whole speech prepared to address you and what I think about you. And then you come down and you say, what can we do to resolve this? And he says, you just took all the air out of my anger. And he embraced me and he said, I'm not angry at you. I love you because we're seeing some resolution and handling things in a way that honors the Lord. It's so important, friends and family, that we humble ourselves before a God, because a foundational attitude for fellowship is humility. And God spoke to us before we ever got on the airplane. You humble yourselves before your fellow missionaries. You take the learner servant role and you hear, and restoration was restored. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that God uses those moments to teach, to instruct, and to bring incredible joy. And as Paul said, oh, you have no idea of how much joy is in my heart because you want to see me again. That's how we felt about the Palauan missionaries. When we left, we knew that we were welcome back. And that was a delightful place to be in. Psalms 133, close with this. Psalms 133. It's a very short psalm, but it's three verses, but it says an awful lot. It says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. There's another word that ties into the root word of fellowship. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord pronounced his blessing and life everlasting. Fellowship is sweet. Harmony is very refreshing. And I know what it's like to have the opposite, believe me. I shared one example of that from my own life. But may the Lord encourage you as you move forward as a body of believers. And I actually shared a lot of this same teaching with the group in Rito Christian Fellowship a month ago, because they asked me to come in and take part in a series that they were doing on the life of Jesus and what Jesus taught and communicated in real time to people back then, and what he would like us to apply today. So they had a whole series, and I had the topic of fellowship. And so this has been really good to be able to go back into this again and share some things with you today about this topic. Let me pray. God, we need you. We need you so very, very much. And may you remind us of how sweet the fellowship is with you and the Holy Spirit and our wonderful Savior. Has always been that way and will always be that way. And you have brought us into a union with our Lord through his amazing death and burial and resurrection. And we can honestly, humbly say, thank you. Teach us more about the preciousness of fellowship and all that you've accomplished to bring that forward into 2022 so that we can live in enjoyment the way you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live in fellowship and enjoyment. Thank you today. Bless us as we go our ways and part now and encourage us to be people that grow in love for our wonderful Savior. In his name, amen.